Shalom, Mishpocha. Shalom, family. Mishpocha is a Hebrew word. It means family. We're the Mishpocha, the family with the Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people. We're the middle wall of separation between Jew and Gentile. It's finally come down to form one new man. Getting ready, Mishpocha, to blow the grandest shofar or the grandest trumpet in Zion. We want everyone, everywhere, to hear the good news. We want everyone, everywhere, to be red hot for the Messiah. My guest is red hot for the Messiah. He kind of had an unfair advantage, and that was he had a mother that had a visitation from Jesus, a nice Jewish mother that had a visitation from Jesus, and how could she help but worship all the time? And so he was raised in that type of an atmosphere, and you know, as I was listening to your teaching, Rennie, on worship, which I'm so amazed at what happens, because it's not just that people have an open heaven as they listen to your teaching. Yeah. They will learn how to have an open heaven 24/7 in their own homes, in their cars, wherever they are. But as I was listening to it, you made an interesting point, and something I did years ago, and then I got away from it. And it has to do with singing. This is what you were talking about, singing over people. I used to have a healing line, and I would lay hands on people, and I accidentally found one day that I started singing rather than speaking my prayer, singing over each person. And as I sang over each person, the anointing got stronger. It doesn't make sense to me. Do you have any idea why?
I do. Because I tell you something, because the glory of God is in the sound. The glory of eternity is in our voice print. When we begin to worship, God begins to work for our worship on the earth. And that's why what we begin, you see, what we begin to sing is what God begins to do. That's the power, that's the beauty of it. If we speak the word, we know he'll do it. But the glory of it is that you rest in the word and sing it, and he'll do it just as if you said it, because really you're still saying it. You're just saying it in a different way.
But what I found is when I sang it, it was stronger. That's what I don't understand. It was stronger than when I said it.
Because when you sing it, Sid, every time you sing, you see, when you speak, yeah, that's not worship. You're declaring. That's a whole different tone. Mm. But now when you sing, it's coming from the atmosphere of worship, which means it's coming from the glory realm and not a faith realm. So that's why...
Now, what does that mean, coming from the glory realm and not a faith realm?
Okay, let me give an example. There are three realms of the supernatural. There's a faith realm, there's the realm of the anointing, and then there's the glory of God. The glory of God is the atmosphere of God, the manifested presence of God. Faith is the substance of heaven on earth. That's why it's called substances. Faith connects us to the world beyond. Okay, the anointing is not for the beyond. The anointing is for here. And so when we're singing and we're worshiping, we're singing from the heavens. We're not singing to get there. We're singing from that position. Because, you know, looking at it from a redemptive point of view, the Bible says we're risen with Christ and we're seated. So technically speaking, we're actually singing from the heavens.
Well, you teach about we can be in two places at one time, which I'd never heard until you talked about that.
Oh, yeah, we're in two places at once. And also, said, this is really what's so powerful about it, is that when we begin to sing, and the glory of God begins to come forth, God just begins to do things. And it's something I believe we're going to see more and more and more of when we begin to really just begin to worship God. Because in heaven, there's nothing... Oh, thank you, Jesus. In heaven, there's nothing not done. So when you're worshiping, and you said you were singing over people, you were just worshiping in the absolute... in the absoluteness of the fact that everything is done, because anything that's not done cannot be in harmony. Everything that's done is in harmony. And so that's why the Bible says, by those stripes you are, and then Peter said, by those stripes you were. So you're singing it now from eternity now. So it literally has a weight of glory on it. So, Sid, I'm not surprised when you said you started to sing it, that it got stronger. Yep, because it's coming from heaven. Hallelujah.
Oh, explain this to me.
Yeah.
People like, say, I'm picking on Catherine Coleman this week, but people like Catherine Coleman, she seemed to have certain songs, music, that she'd have Dino or Jimmy sing, and it was sometimes the same songs. Why would she do that versus diversity, having lots of different songs?
Because there are some of that. I am so glad you asked this question, because I believe God's going to put keys in people's lives. There are some songs that forever will work, because it's a forever affirmation of who God is and what he is. So there are some songs you could sing in the next 50 years, it will forever be as powerful, because the song can carry that power. Like, let me give you some songs that, when I say them to you, it will bring a lot to your mind. Let me give you some of those power songs that really carries the majesty of God. For example, now, How Great Thou Art.
Hmm.
That's never died because of the power of it, you know. And the new way of how people sing it today is, how great is our God. Notice, it's a declaration to the atmosphere, to the earth, to the environment. How great, how powerful, how awesome, how magnificent is our God. So those songs carry that kind of power.
So in a church service, a worship leader has to be sensitive to the exact song that God wants, not the one that sounds the best.
Exactly. Any song that speaks about you evokes the flesh. That's why worship is a total divorce from you, because it's not you, it's coming from God, and it's of God. And so that's something today that some of our songs need to be really changed, because in reality, we're singing partly about us, and worship's nothing to do with you, it's all about him. Like, let me give you some instances of some songs that we know that really can carry the power of God. For example, this is a song that everybody knows, you know, our God is an awesome God. Notice what we're saying, Sid. He's an awesome God. He reigns. He rules. See, those kind of songs will create the atmosphere for God to show that he is awesome, that he is powerful, because that's what we're singing, that he is. And so when you sing that, it creates the atmosphere for you to release your faith for God to do anything. But some of the songs we sing today are self-centered, and the self-centered songs takes you inward. It takes you to you and not God. And they're not powerful. That's the problem that we have now. And so today, and a lot of our worship leaders, I love every worship leader, but sometimes we're singing songs to soothe our soul, and we're not speaking to the majesty and the power and the magnificence of an ever-living God.
And the worst extreme of what you're describing is famous singers in Hollywood or on television,
yes,
that were called by God to be psalmists and lead great corporate worship. They literally sold their gift for the things of this world.
Oh, that's so sad. And to think about it, that God gave them a sound.
Take Elvis. Tell me about Elvis.
Now, Elvis was an incredible man. I'll tell you why I say Elvis was incredible. Do you know that once upon a time we went to Memphis and we went to his house, to his mansion, and we learned something about his music? They said every time Elvis went into the studio, he was searching for a new sound. Isn't that interesting? He was searching for a new sound. But they always said that he always preferred the spiritual songs. They said he was like a different man when he sung them. And so I put it down where a lot of them sold out. You know why, Sid? And I hate to say this, but I've just got to say this. It's because the church back then could not take a new sound.
That's interesting.
And so what happened was the enemy created a market for their voice. And so that's what we're seeing today. Some of the greatest people who we know out there right now, they got the sound was put in them when they were in church.
Let's just take a moment, because our time is slipping away. What is the basic message of your teaching, Matter Doesn't Matter?
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my God. So much on. Okay. Matter from a scientific point of view is constantly changing. It's constantly changing. That's why when the presence of God, oh, my goodness, I'm just hearing the word of the Lord. When the presence of God comes through worship, the reason why you can get miracles of all kinds, creative miracles, healing, whatever, is because matter doesn't matter. So a crippled leg can be made straight. A back can be made straight. Because when the glory of God is present, matter doesn't matter. It sets you free. It lets you know that your condition is not permanent. It is subjected to change because matter doesn't matter.
You know, on tomorrow's broadcast, you got a revelation just the other day, a prophetic word from heaven about the currency war that is going to happen in the world. I'd like you to talk about that. And if you enjoyed my conversation with Dr. Rennie McLean, you will love our television show because Dr. McLean has been a guest for 2 weeks on my TV show. You can go to our web to find out where we're on television or actually see the show on demand. It's sidroth.org, www.sidroth, S-I-D-R-O-T-H, .org. Rennie,
yes.
Is it your favorite thing to worship God?
It's my favorite thing, Sid, because you can get closer to God than worship, than through worship. And I am. That's when I really feel the greatness of God is through worship. I mean, I feel the infusion of His life and His power. In fact, even as I'm talking right now, there's somebody right now being healed, being touched, being set free, because they're realizing right now nothing matters to you more now than the presence of God. And every foreign power is subjected and it bows its knee to the presence of God. You know, Sid, I so recommend the people to really get into that revelation.
Oh, let me get those two CDs in their hand as fast as possible. One is Rennie teaching on his favorite subject that will allow you to experience what he's experiencing. It's called The Glory of God Through Worship. It'll motivate you in a supernatural fashion to want to worship. And then when you understand matter doesn't matter, you'll know what to do in the worship. Both CDs available for a gift of $25. To hear this week's interview in its entirety or to watch archives of our television show, It's Supernatural, visit our website at www.sidroth.org. That's www.sidroth.org. To receive a complimentary copy of our bi-monthly teaching newsletter, materials catalog, or information about becoming Mishpacha or Chalitzim, write to me, Sid Roth, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521, or call our order-only line, 1-800-447-2697. To place a credit card order, call anytime, 1-800-447-2697. For all other calls, the number is 912-265-2500. That's 912-265-2500. For a CD of this week's broadcast, send a donation of $10 or more to Sid Roth, that's S-I-D-R-O-T-H, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521.